is April 16th, 2004. There's Arthur Eggers, and we're studying the book of Haggai today. And we'll look at the introductory of chapter 1. And the purpose for Haggai's writings was to stir up the Jews that had come with Zerubbabel about 536 B.C. Now, I got these dates that I'm giving from history books, and all the history books aren't necessarily the same, so there might be different, there might be a conflict of dates, if I, a year or two or so forth, I don't know. But the dates that I give you is accurate as far as I know. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and we find this, and let's turn over to Ezra chapter 1 to begin with. In Ezra 1:1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he might make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. So the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, we begin our dating. And let's go over to the 44th chapter of Isaiah and pick up another date in 44, last verse of 28. Thus saith Cyrus. Now notice what God says about Cyrus here. He is my shepherd. God used a Gentile as his shepherd. Yes, he's my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So he called my shepherd. Then in the 45th Isaiah, I'm going to read the first two verses of 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Now notice what he called. Now, his anointed. To Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of the king of kings, to open before him the 2 leven gates, and the gates not shall not be shut. And I will go before thee, and make the crooked place straight, and will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of a secret place. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the Lord of Israel. So, no wonder Cyrus in Ezra 1 made this statement, the Lord God of heaven hath given me the kingdoms of the earth. So he was given credit to the right place that belonged to God, and he wasn't taking this credit for his own. After Babylon was defeated in 539 B.C., Darius the Mede became the governor and supreme ruler of Babylon. Now, he wasn't the Persian Empire. He was the Mede of Medes. He was under Cyrus II. So he was called Cyrus the Great. This Cyrus died in battle in 530 B.C. Cambyses reigned next until 522 B.C. Cambyses died by suicide. Then Darius Hystaspes, I believe that's the way you pronounce that. He restored the kingdom, and he reigned until 486 B.C. Then his son, whose name was Xerxes, that's spelled X-E-R-X-E-S, Xerxes, known as Ahasuerus. He came to throne, and he ruled until 480 B.C. He was defeated by Longimanus in 424 B.C. Now, there was some short-term rulers, as there was Xerxes II, and he was from 424 to 423 B.C., and then there was another Darius in there from 423 to 404 B.C. This would be Artaxerxes II. And so there was all these rulers in there. Artaxerxes III will rule from 358 to 338 BC. And there was a lot of rulers in there. Then the Grecian Empire defeated the Persians in battle that was led by Alexander the Great. But in Cyrus's first year, this is what we want to get back to, about 539 BC, as we read in Ezra 1, and I didn't read verse 5, and I should have read that in Ezra 1, and I'm going to go back and read that. I'm going to read 3 through 5. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build a house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods, with beasts, besides the free will of offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priest, and the Levites, and all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So God not only talked to Cyrus, he talked to many others for the purpose of going and building the house in Jerusalem, of Judah and also of Benjamin. Now the purpose of all of this was to build the house of the Lord, or let's say to build a temple. That was the purpose of that. Then in back over here in chapter 2 of Ezra, I want to read another verse. Verse 2, well, I guess I'll read one with it. These are the children of the providence that went up out of captivity, of those who had been carried away by whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again to Jerusalem and Judea and Judah, every one to his city, which came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reeliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, Baana, and the number of the men of the people of Israel. And then it goes on to number all of these that are mentioned there. And then in verse 46 of chapter 2, let's see, is it 46? I'm sorry, I told you wrong. 64 instead of 46. 64 says the whole congregation together was 42,303, or 42,360, besides the servants and the maid, of whom there was 7,337, and there were among them 200 singers, singing men, and singing women. So there was quite a few went up there. I didn't add all those up. There was 42,360 plus 7,337 plus 200 more. So you got them up for yourself. That went up with the Zerubbabel for the purpose of building the temple. Then the altar was built and the foundation laid. But adversaries came and delayed building of the temple for about 18 years. It would lay dormant there without anything. And then God spoke to Haggai and Zechariah, and they prophesied together concerning their concern, I guess we might say, of the work that had stopped. Now this was about 530 BC that this happened, that they prophesied. Or we might say 9 years after Zerubbabel had led the first group into the land. Malachi, now he was much later in this. Then let's ask a question. Who was Zerubbabel? The son of Shealtiel. Well, Zerubbabel, his name means melted by Babylon. Melted by Babylon. And he was the son of I have asked to God. And it's believed that his Babylonish name was to be Sheshbazzar was another name that was supposedly given to him. I think that's over in 1 Ezra 1:8. Thus, even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithredath the treasurer, and numbered unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah, in which in Haggai 1:1, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and he's called the governor or the ruler of Judah. So possibly the same person here. Cyrus had made him the governor of the land as he went into there. No doubt that he was born and raised in Babylon. We're talking about Zerubbabel, probably born and raised in Babylon. The Greek rendering, and we might turn real quick over to Matthew 1, I think it's verse 12. And after they were brought into Babylon, Jehoahaz begat Shealtiel. See, we have that same name again. And Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. So this is the same as Zerubbabel in our lesson, the same person. Then we might look at another verse in Luke 3:27 in this genealogy of Mary, which was a son of Joanna, which was a son of Risa, which was a son of Zerubbabel, which was a son of Shealtiel, which was a son of Neri. So no doubt this is the same. And the thought here melded in Babylon, or has the thought of being molded into Babylon. God is able to change molds, isn't he? I have asked of God, and he was a son of Neri, which means my lamp is Jehovah. Anyway, it's marvelous, I think, that he was in the lineage of Christ. And he's also a type of those who led the Jews in that day. He's a picture of those who will lead the Jews also in the last days. We might turn over now to Zechariah 4. I'm going to read some verses there, I think. And I want to compare them with Revelation chapter 11 and see the end time teaching here. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that waketh out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes, and seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said, now knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake with me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, let's look and compare this now with Revelation 11, read verses 3 or 4. And I will give my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed within sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. So it leaves a little doubt of what we're talking about, doesn't it? These are the two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, these wonderful leaders will encourage the remnant to stand against all odds to serve the Lord in bringing in the kingdom. Now, God used Haggai, he used Zerubbabel, mighty in leading the first colony of Jews into Jerusalem. And with Jeshua, the high priest, and his name means the same as Joshua, Jehovah's salvation, to build an altar was their job to build the altar, to restore the sacrifices, and the rebuilding of the temple. Now, I say again that they were hindered 16 years. They were hindered 16 years by the half-breed Israel of Samaria. And the work was stopped, and the Jews were building on their own fancy house and stores and whatever could make them money, and let the temple go. And so this is a purpose now that Haggai, God stirred Haggai's heart to encourage them to get started back on the temple, to get started building, because the time was at hand. The book here, Haggai, is in four messages. And these four messages was over a period of 3 months and 23 days. We'll see that as we go into it. The first division is the people stirred, verses chapter 1, verse 1 through 15. The second division is the hope of a new temple, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. The third division is a call to consider, that is, what they were missing in not building. This is chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. And then the fourth division is the promise to Zerubbabel, chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. All right, let's look at our lesson now. Verse 1, let's read first four verses of chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, and the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Joshadech, the high priest, saying, Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time of the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to build in your own cell, in your celled houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Without doubt, Haggai is the author of this. And the word of the Lord came to him, and the meaning of his name is a feast or a festival. That might probably in your book. But the thought here is a feast. Feast is a time for the people to assemble, people to rejoice. It was used for worship time. Special festivals were observed by the congregation of Israel. Now, these days were in many ways connected with the number 7. And which is a number of completion. In Ezra 2:70, you might mark Ezra, because we may come back to this quite a bit. We read, So the priests and the Levites, and some of the people, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. Nethinims, these were Gibeonites, that were chosen to help singers and the porters. These were they were helpers of the priests to work and serve in the temple. They dwelt in their cities, we read, and all Israelite in their cities. Then in the third chapter of Ezra, first two verses, says, When the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Joshadech, and his brethren the priest, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and built the altar of the Lord of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereof, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So in the seventh month, they stood up and started this work. I had some thought as I was reading that. But they built the altar. Now, not the temple yet, but the altar where they could offer burnt offerings. Then in verse 6 of the same. It says, from the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Now, this was a joyous time to build an altar, but the joy just couldn't be in its fullness for Israel without a temple. They had the altar, they could worship, but they needed a temple. In Exodus 12, verse 14, it gives us a thought along this line. It says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So in the kingdom age, the feast and the sacrifices will be different than it was in the Old Testament in that time. In the kingdom age, the feast will be more like a memorial rather than a law. It will be in memory of Christ rather than looking forward to Christ. So God enjoyed that feast, and he will enjoy the feast in the kingdom age because it's going to glorify Christ on the cross. That will be the work of Christ to them. Notice these words that were in our lesson were to Zerubbabel and Joshua. In Ezra, it's spelt a little different, but it has the same meaning. It's Jeshua instead of Joshua. I think Jeshua is he will save, and Joshua is Jehovah saves. I think that's a difference, but it's the same person. Jehovah is salvation. In verse 2 of Haggai, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say. Here's what the people say. The Lord is telling Haggai what the people are saying. And this is only excuse. They really was looking for a reason not to work, not to build. A reason to build on our own house rather than God's house. And we have a lot of people like that wouldn't dare let their house run down, but they'll let the place where we meet fall apart and not do anything to help keep it looking nice. And I think keeping the meeting place looking nice gives God glory. And I think the word will go forth. But people will spend a lot of money. They'll mow their grass at home, but they wouldn't mow their grass here in the meeting. Well, that was just an excuse. They used a heathen, and they used the heathens of the northern tribes, actually, as a hindrance to build, and there wasn't any hindrance to working on their own house. So I think this is the same attitude that people have today. All right, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. And this is what gain do they have in all that they're doing? They put their own things ahead of God's things, their home. And today we could name some things, their home, their cars, their jobs, and their boats, and their cabins, and all of these things that men accumulate. And how do they expect to be blessed if they won't bless God? To bless God, to put God's things first. And here we read that they just don't have enough. I have seen this so often, they seem to always be behind, always be in debt, always struggling to make ends meet. And I've had people say, well, I can't afford to give to God. And really the truth is they can't afford not to. The reason that these people didn't have anything was because they wouldn't put God first in their life. They expected God to bless them, but they wouldn't bless the Lord. This isn't the feast God wants. God called them to consider. Stop. Think. Meditate. Find out why you're in such a condition that you're in. The word is used 5 times in this book, not only in 1:5, but 1:7, consider your ways. 2:15, I pray you consider from this day and upward. And then 2:18, consider now from this day and upward. So over and over again, verse 19, I believe, also they're called to consider. But over and over again, they're called to think about it. Why are you in such a condition? I think, too, that five times he asked them to consider, and five is a number of grace. So God could have done something about it the first time he called them to consider. First two is consider your ways. Then there's more to do than consider. He wants them to also get up and go to work. They worked, but not on the right thing. And this is God's thing that he wanted them to do first, was to work on his house. Then verses 7 and 8, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So the second call to consider, go up and bring wood down from the mountains. Bring some building material to build a house with, and God will take pleasure in this, in glory. The other houses were for their pleasure, and this house would be for God's pleasure. And so again, today God's people will keep their own homes repaired, but will let the place where God has called them to meet fall apart. They'll mow their own grass, but they won't mow gold. They'll let God's yard grow up in weeds. And who do we love the most, our yard or God's yard? Verse 9, ye look for much, and lo, it comes to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house, that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. So God's going to blow on them like chaff, and most of them be blown away. And we say, why? Because God's things are laying waste, and not very many people really care. God will blow on anything, destroy anything, what people put ahead of him. Verses 10 and 11, therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I will call, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the hands. The things that they need the most aren't there when they need it. Why? Because God blew on it. It's gone. God's things that he wanted are laid waste, and so God's going to lay their things waste. It's just as simple as that. Does God have his hand on everything? Yes, he surely does. He's in control, and it's high time man knew it. The fact that God comes first and other things last. Life. 12, let's read down through 15. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts and their God. In the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. So the message was heard, the message was obeyed, and two men with all the remnant of the people began to obey the word of the Lord. And we also read here that they feared the Lord. Notice verse 13 in there. Now they were in a position to hear God through Haggai. The ones who obeyed, God said unto them, I am with you. The ones that didn't obey, God wasn't with them. He said, I am with you. I like this thought, because he didn't say, I am over you or I'm under you. where workers together kind of reminds us of 2 Corinthians 6:1, where it says that we then are workers together with him. Beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Workers together. And so they work together. They pull together. And in the 4 and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, they did some work, started to work on the house. We might compare this back over to Ezra chapter 6, compare the dates a little bit here, 6:15. And this house was finished on the 3rd day of the month of Adar, which was the 6th year of the reign of Darius the king. So we have in the 2nd year of Darius the king, they started in the 24th day of the 6th month, they started, and in the they finished in the 3rd day of Adar, which was the 6th year. So four years, I never figured it out, but the house was finished. So they went to work, didn't they? God went to work on them, they yielded, and they went to work for God. God stirred their spirits, stirred their heart to do something. And when they did something in a short time. It doesn't take God very long if he has some willing hearts. And that's all he's asking from people, is a willing heart.